your killer bee on the MIC with the SSWW to the VVV. Going downtown, let me see if we all in together now. Make it move better now. Listen, I ain't sweating no competition. Flow, going mad, low like I'm fishing.
Another chapter from the Wu-Tang book. Take a look and repeat. Killer bees never sleep. Non-stop. Put you on the chopping block. Unorthodox. Add it to the melting pot.
I'll do anything. I'm so into you. Right here. I'm weak downtown with the weird.
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
On the air we go.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho.
Hello, hello. You are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Breezy coming at you live today on October 10th, 2016. If this is your first time listening, this is my fourth week doing this, and The Eighth Dwarf is everything Disney. So, yeah, that's why it's called The Eighth Dwarf, because Snow White had seven dwarves, but she actually had eight, and it was me, and she just forgot about me. So that's why it's called The Eighth Dwarf. Yeah, because I'm short. And today's topic is Disney Channel shows. Last week, I talked about Disney Channel original movies, which I had a lot of fun talking about because High School Musical, my favorite. And yeah, today I'm going to be talking about Disney Channel shows, a lot of the OG ones, the original ones, the ones that I grew up with. I don't really watch Disney Channel now, so I wouldn't include those shows because I don't watch it. I don't really have any feelings for it because I didn't watch it. So I'm going to first talk about my favorite Disney Channel series, and then later in the show, I'm going to be talking about Boy Meets World and Girl Meets World. Oh, I'm so excited because I literally just finished Boy Meets World yesterday, and I cried. I straight up cried because it was such a good ending to the series, and I felt really sad about it, but it was okay because I knew there was still Girl Meets World. Okay, so I'm going to jump right in to my 10 favorite Disney Channel cartoons. Yeah, not the people, the cartoons with the animation and stuff. And I took all of this information from imdb.com, so these aren't my words. So first, this is in no particular order, but I did put my favorite ones towards the top and my lesser favorite ones at the end of the list. So, at number one, it is Kim Possible. The show lasted from 2002 to 2007. Kim Possible looks like an average high school cheerleader, but in her spare time, she saves the world from supervillains, her buddy, Ron Stoppable, his pet Rufus, and a resourceful webmaster named Wade collaborate on secret missions and can do anything. When she's not defending the bad guys, Kim still has to cope with typical pressures of school, family, and social life. I love the show so much because I wanted to be just like her. She literally did everything that I couldn't and that made me aspire to be her, because she was doing all of these splits and these backflips, and I am not flexible whatsoever. I mean, I can bend my body forward and backward, but that's really about it. I only really move my body forward to slouch. So yeah. And I also really loved her communicator, and it was spelled K-I-M-M, Unicator. So it's communicator, but with her name in it. That was so cool. And I loved hey, Wade, what's the sitch? I wanted that to be me. I wanted that to be me so bad. I wanted to go on adventures and fight bad guys, and she did it all hella classy. Okay, Kim, my bad. Let me join you. And the food on that show looked so delicious. The animators did a really good job on that. Okay, number two, The Proud Family. The show lasted from 2001 to 2005. 14-year-old Penny Proud is growing up. She's trying to gain her independence and faces typical teenage experiences in junior high. With the help of her parents, Trudy and Oscar, and her grandma, Sugar Mama, Penny faces all sorts of comical events. Okay, I really like this because, first of all, it's a different type of family. It's a black family, and seeing the way that they lived with all of the comical stuff in there, it was a lot of fun to watch, and I just liked how it was something different, and it was cool just watching it. And there was some interracial relationships. She was with an Asian dude. I'm Asian, so that was cool. And also, I think this was the first show where or actually the first time I was ever introduced to the holiday Kwanzaa. Yeah, there was an episode dedicated to that and like her family heritage. So I thought that was really cool because it was the first time I'd ever heard of it. And I got to see it with my favorite characters, celebrating it with Penny and all her friends. So that was really awesome. Okay, number three, Phineas and Ferb. The show lasted from 2007 to 2015. Phineas Flynn and his stepbrother, Ferb Fletcher, are determined to make every day of their summer vacation fun. They try building a full-scale roller coaster, becoming musicians, building a backyard beach, and traveling back in time to meet dinosaurs. Their family pet, Perry the Platypus, doubles as a secret agent and battles evil. Meanwhile, older sister Candace is tattling on them to mom and dad, although she can never seem to catch them in the act. This show was lit. It was so good. I really just wanted to jump into the TV and join them. Everything that they built, I wanted to ride with them. I wanted to help them build it. I just wanted to join in the adventure that they had for the day. It looked so much fun. And also, I'm really mad at my school for not having us be Phineas and freshmen for our freshman spirit week. Okay, I'm still hurt about that. I thought it would have been a really good idea because this show is really good. And I'm surprised how long it lasted. I thought it only lasted for 5 years, but it lasted way more than that. So it was still really good though, and it was really funny. And I even watched like some of the movies that they produced, and that was cool too. But this show, it was so funny. Candace was always trying to rat out her brothers, and she never was able to. And it was just, honestly, I felt her pain. Not because I was trying to rat out my siblings, but just the fact that I was getting really antsy. I wanted her to get them in trouble, but she never did. So I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, number four, Gravity Falls. The show lasted from 2012 to 2016. Twins Dipper and Mabel Pines are sent to spend the summer with their great uncle, Grunkle Stan, in the mysterious town of Gravity Falls, Oregon. Grunkle Stan has the kids help him run the Mystery Shack, the tourist trap that he owns. The twins try to adapt to the weird surroundings, but sense there is something strange about Gravity Falls and begin to unlock its secrets. When Dipper uncovers a cryptic journal that offers insight into the town's mysteries, he and Mabel use it and their enthusiastic desire to vanquish evil to battle the imminent mysteries that surround them. Okay, this only lasted for about 4 years, but I really wish that it lasted longer. And the reason for this is because the storyline was just really good. Every episode was a new adventure of Mabel and Dipper finding out a different mysterious creature in the woods. And that was so cool finding it out. And they always made it really funny too. And although I found it a little bit creepy at first, I was like, okay, you know what? It's on Disney Channel. It can't be that scary. So I continued watching, and it was a great decision because this show was really good. It was just so good. It was really hard not to love them. And the series finale, oh my gosh, it was such a good ending. Like, it wasn't like a sad ending, but it was, my eyes were almost falling out of my head, and it was mind blown. That's what it was. It was a mind blown. And like everything, it was like the puzzle, it was a puzzle, and everything just fit together correctly and nicely. And oh, I can't even describe it. I thought it was an amazing ending. And if I keep talking about how amazing it was, I'm just going to be stuttering and saying the same three words this entire show. Okay, number five is American Dragon Jake Long. And this series lasted from 2005 to 2007. Jake is keeping a secret from his teachers and classmates. He's a descendant of dragons, still facing all the normal pitfalls of being 13, Jake is also in secret training to become the first American dragon. With the help of Grandpa Lao Shi and 600-year-old Fu Dog, Jake seeks to protect all the magical creatures living amongst humans in Manhattan. Always on a skateboard, Jake befriends unicorns, leprechauns, and mermaids while aspiring to fulfill his Chinese-American heritage. Okay, 2 years was not enough whatsoever. I believe that the series ended on a cliffhanger. Okay, I remember watching the last episode and I was pissed. I was so mad because I needed more information. I needed to know what happened with this girl that he liked. Okay, did they ever get together? Did they ever find out like why they were fighting or why they could never even be together? And like the rest of the family, I was really mad. I wanted to know more, and then it ended so early. Why did they gotta end it? Because it was the first Asian family that an Asian show on Disney Channel that I've seen. That was great. I'm Asian. Representation. Why would you want to end it so early? Did it not get enough views? Because I got two eyes. Does that not count as two views? For real. Like, this was such a good show. I enjoyed it so much. I played the pinball game, and I still do that now because I found it off a website that I cannot name because I think it was illegal, but I still played it, and it was a lot of fun. Okay, number 6, Brandy and Mr. Whiskers. The show lasted from 2004 to 2006. Brandy and Mr. Whiskers are both stranded in the Amazon rainforest full of noisy creatures. Twins Toucan, Cheryl, and Meryl are always squawking. Lola Boa is the helpful snake and Brandy's new best friend. All of them are trying to outwit jungle bully Gaspar Le Gecko, the self-proclaimed ruler of the rainforest. While Brandy is a snobby brat of a dog from Florida, Mr. Whiskers is a friendly bunny who is as clueless in the jungle as Brandy is. Singing and adventure fill their days with excitement and fun. The show was weird, but it was hella funny. That's really all I gotta say about it. And if you were like me, you probably played the dress-up game to dress up Brandy on the website on DisneyChannel.com. I did that a lot. I like those dress-up games, and this was one of them. Number 7, The Buzz on Maggie. The show lasted from 2005 to 2006. Maggie Pesky is an unusual young teen fly with big dreams, and this series is from her point of view. Set in the fly metropolis of Sticky Feet, Maggie gets the community's attention with her antics in a conventional world of upstanding flies. Maggie is always plotting to make even mundane tasks fun and exciting. Maggie's best friend, Raina Cartflight, thinks Maggie's crazy schemes usually cross the line. Maggie's parents are Chauncey and Frida Pesky. Dawn Swatworthy is Maggie's rival, a snobby girl. Okay, I'm pissed that this didn't last longer. Only a year. Are you for reals? Are you for reals, Disney Channel? Why are you gonna end it so early? I thought this was a cute show, and I liked playing the online game where we dressed up her up for a performance, okay? I played a lot of online games, and I probably shouldn't, but I did it anyway, and we can't go back now. But I liked it a lot. It was so much fun. I played that game. Like, we got to dress her up for her performance. We gave her a guitar. Sometimes there was one where, because she's a fly, she got, like, six arms or something, and then she would play the guitar with the extra, I don't know, the anatomy of a guitar, but there was like extra things, and it was so cool, and the show ended too soon, and I'm really sad about it. I'm sad about a lot of these shows. A lot of the cartoons didn't last long, and they were the ones that I liked. Okay, number 8, Fish Hooks. The show lasted from 2010 to 2014. A trio of fish, brothers Milo and Oscar, along with dramatic goldfish Bee, attend school in an aquarium in a pet store. They cope with the usual trials of teens like dating, friendship, sports, and school issues, along with some more unusual things like giant lobster attacks and field trips to hamster cages. This show was cute, yeah, and it was always on late at night, and I enjoyed watching it before going to bed. I thought it was a lot of fun. One of the voice actors was this guy from the show That's a Raven, and I'll get to that later, and he's such a comical dude. He's so funny, and hearing his voice in the show just made it a lot, like, so much better, and it kind of made me feel like home, I guess that's the word for it. Yeah, I just, like, I knew he would be funny, and knowing that, I knew that this show would be funny too. Number 9, The Replacements. So the show lasted from 2006 to 2009. Two orphans, Riley and little brother Todd, answer an ad from Flemco replacement people and order new parents. As Riley and Todd go on adventures, or misadventures as it were, they team up with Conrad Fleem to replace any adult in their lives that they don't like, but they don't get to choose the replacements, and sometimes their good intentions don't work out as they planned. Alright, this show was lit. I wanted to get replacements for people. Like, it made me want to replace adults that I didn't like in my life with someone better. Okay, that probably wasn't, like, a good example for kids, but it happened, and I liked it, and I felt that way, so I can't go back. And I remember there was this one episode with a horse that liked sugar cubes, and ever since then, it made me really want to try a sugar cube, because I never tried one, and I still haven't. And I feel like it's not going to be anything different, it's just sugar shaped as a cube, but for some reason it just looked so good when the horse was eating it and I wanted to eat it too. But yeah. And number 10 is Dave the Barbarian. This show lasted from 2004 to 2005. Dave is a teenage barbarian trying to protect the land of Udragoth, I'm sorry if I butchered that, along with his sisters Fang and Candy while their parents are away fighting evil. Dave would rather be cooking, Fang wishes she were boss and could take over Udragoth herself, and Candy always has something smart to say. Honestly, this was really an eh of a show, but it was still pretty funny. I didn't watch it so often, but if there was nothing else on, I would watch the show. And I'm not so mad that it only lasted for about a year. It was all right. Well, hi-ho, on a break we go. Right after this, I will be talking about my 10 favorite Disney Channel series, and these are the ones with the people like That's So Raven, Lizzie McGuire. So yeah, stay tuned for that, and remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu.
Just like a rocket taking up, you got me high, I'm flying in a dream. Got me feeling like the one, and after everything you've done, just let me take this little moment to say that you're so special.
So if you are just tuning in, this is The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Breezy, and before the break, I just talked about my favorite Disney Channel cartoon shows. So yeah, that was cool. Like Kim Possible and the Proud Family, you know. Okay, and now I am going to be talking about my 10 favorite Disney Channel series, and I took all of this information from imdb.com. So, at number one, it is Hannah Montana, yep, and this show lasted from 2006 to 2011, and, okay, so this is the synopsis for it. Although she appears to be just a typical teenager to most of her classmates and teachers, Miley Stewart lives a double life, transforming herself into famous pop star Hannah Montana at night. Her secret identity is known only to her family and closest friends. Oh my, this was amazing. I was in love with every single part of it. I loved all the songs, I loved all the dancing, and I really just wanted to be Hannah Montana because I like being on stage and I like performing, and she was doing literally everything that I wanted to do. So yeah, she was everything. She was my goals. Yes, Miley Cyrus is everything. She was like the it girl during this time when her show was airing, and I even went to see Hannah Montana the movies the movie, which was in theaters. I watched that. I enjoyed it a lot, and I wanted to be in the movie, but I never went to any of her concerts, so it never happened. But it's okay. Yeah, I just really wanted to be just like her. I wanted to be Miley Stewart. I wanted to be Hannah Montana, as everyone else did. Yeah. Number two, That's So Raven. The show lasted from 2003 to 2007. No ordinary teenager, Raven Baxter can see glimpses of the future. Watch her schemes and misadventures as she enlists the help of her friends, including best friends Eddie and Chelsea, to change life's little outcomes. Raven's younger brother, Corey, is obsessed with money and creates get-rich-quick schemes to try to earn cash. Ooh, this show was lit AF for real. Oh my gosh. I would put this at number one at top with Hannah Montana, but yeah, I'd say this is a tie for number one. Hannah Montana and That's Raven were my go-to shows as a kid in elementary school. It was so good because during that time I was in elementary school. Yeah, I was very young, but I still liked it. And I really liked the show because, for one thing, it was funny. And another thing is that it tackled racial issues in a way that was accessible to younger viewers like me. So the show, there was one episode where Raven was trying to get a job at this clothing store. And she was totally qualified for it, but she didn't get the job. And she was so confused because she literally had everything that they were looking for. And then her friend Chelsea, who was okay at the job, she wasn't as good as her best friend Raven. Chelsea got the job, and it was like, what? Everyone was so confused. And then later in the show, you find out that the boss was discriminating Raven based on her skin color. Yeah, it was just because she was black. And just watching that, seeing Raven go through that, someone who many of us see as like our friend, seeing her go through that type of situation, we're just like, oh my gosh, why would this lady do that? And it's really just showing us what's going on in real life. So pretty crazy. Okay, and also, Raven was the it girl of the time, but now she's kind of gone elsewhere. Yeah, I don't know what Raven Simone's really doing now. She's kind of like, yeah. But by the way, does anyone know where I can still play Raven Pinball? Because I've been looking for it online for a while and I can't find it at all. Yeah, I literally spent about 2 days trying to find this online and I had honestly no luck, so I'm still pretty sad about that. But you know what, it's all right, it's okay. Number three, Lizzie McGuire. This show lasted from 2001 to 2004. Enter the world of Lizzie McGuire at your own risk, a world where the 13-year-old and her best friends Miranda and Gordo ride the roller coaster existence of a middle schooler. Every day is a popularity contest, every class is a crisis, and on top of everything else, Lizzie has to deal with her annoying little brother, Matt, and a mom who means well despite her nosy tendencies. You always know what Lizzie is thinking, and if she can't quite say it, you can be sure her animated alter ego will. Oh my gosh, I love this so much. Ever since the show, I've been obsessed with everything Hilary Duff. Like, I watch all of her movies. I watched the Lizzie McGuire movie. Yeah. Oh, I was talking about this to someone earlier. Like, the most iconic part from the Lizzie McGuire movie was, Lizzie McGuire, you are an outfit repeater. And then Lizzie was like, well, you are an outfit rememberer. Oh, like, yeah, I am with Lizzie because, heck yeah, I'm an outfit repeater. I ain't got all that money to buy new clothes. I got laundry to do. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to be an outfit repeater. And you crazy for being an outfit rememberer. So there was that. And I really wish that this show lasted longer. I don't think 3 years was enough. I don't know why it only lasted 3 years. Maybe Hilary Duff had better things to do. But I thought she should have stayed on Disney Channel. And I love this episode. My favorite episode from Lizzie McGuire was the one with Aaron Carter where they sang I Want Candy. That is such a great episode. Aaron Carter was hecka cute back then, and the song was on fire, and that whole episode was amazing. And I also loved how Lizzie's BFF was Miranda, because she was played by a girl who was of Filipino descent, which is me. Holla, yeah. And also the part where if Lizzie couldn't quite say what she was thinking, her animated alter ego will. So, if you have seen the little graphic I made for this show, The Eighth Dwarf, that girl in the center, that's me. That's me. That's my animated alter ego. And honestly, she looks pretty good. It's like a pretty good depiction of what I look like. Okay, number four, The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. It lasted from 2005 to 2008. Life is sweet, or at least sweet as in S-U-I-T-E, for identical teenage twins Zack and Cody Martin after their mom, Carrie, lands a job headlining in the five-star Tipton Hotel in Boston, which comes with an upper-floor suite. From that new ruse, the twins turn the hotel into their playground, although the pranks are usually instigated by girl-obsessed Zack, not the more mature and intellectual Cody. When her schedule permits, the boys are handled by Maddie Fitzpatrick, the teenage canny counter girl, who also is the somewhat unlikely best friend of spoiled London Tipton, the daughter of the hotel's owner. Lit AF! And these twins were just hilarious. Yes, they looked alike, but they were completely different, and they both had something really funny to themselves. And, oh my gosh, remember PRNDL? It's like, Mr. Mosby, are you talking about the Prindle?
Are you referring to PRNDL?
Oh my gosh, that was so funny. And Esteban Julio Ricardo Montoya de la Rosa Ramirez, that was so funny. Oh my gosh, this show was just great. It's such a quotable show because so many people loved it. And there was just so many funny things that the show had to offer. And number five is Wizards of Waverly Place. It lasted from 2007 to 2012. Alex Russo and her brothers Justin and Max come from a long line of wizards and now must master their newly learned powers or lose them forever. Their dad, Jerry, gave up his powers when he married their mortal mom. The family business is Waverly Substation in busy Manhattan, and the three young wizards get into all sorts of crazy situations as they grow up facing typical teen challenges like school, friends, family, and magic. This show made me want to be a wizard so dang bad. I wanted to be like Alex Russo, where she pulled a wand out of her boot and just be like, I don't like you anymore, and she'd poof them away or whatever. And they'd learn all these spells. That was the only time I was willing to study, if I got to learn different spells and I got to use it on people. But it never happened, so I'm just stuck with studying. And Selena Gomez was literally everything at this time, and she was just so hilarious. Her sarcastic humor was just, it was hilarious. Yeah, Selena Gomez was great. I don't really know how I feel about her now, but she was great at the time. I still love her, though, deep down in my heart. Number six is Phil of the Future. It lasted from 2004 to 2006. The Diffie family left on vacation from the year 2121, but their rented time machine malfunctioned and they were thrown into the year 2004. Now Lloyd, his part robotic wife Barbara, and his kids Phil and Pim are forced to pretend to be a normal family in suburban Pickford. Phil befriends Keely Teslo to keep their secret, and together the siblings deal with school, bullies, and homework without getting found out. This show really made me want to be from the future because all the gadgets were cool. Like, I just wanted to go into the year 2121 and have all the gadgets that they did. It looked like a lot of fun. Number seven, The Sweet Life on Deck. It lasted from 2008 to 2011. In this spin-off to The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, siblings Zack and Cody Martin make new friends and get into fresh mischief after moving into their new home aboard the SS Tipton. It was really sad that The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody had to end, but this was a really good spin-off. And all of the characters, old and new, they were all really great to watch. They were so funny. Ugh, this is a great show. Ugh. Okay, number eight is Jonas L.A. It lasted from 2009 to 2010. The show follows the Jonas Brothers through fun and unusual situations as they try to live ordinary lives. The series also features original Jonas Brothers songs created especially for the show. Jonas is set in the Jonas family's New Jersey home, a converted fire station on Jonas Street, the inspiration for their band's name, and at their private school, Horace Mantis Academy. Little brother Frankie also stars, and the family wouldn't be complete without the big man, the Jonas bodyguard. Jonas Brothers. Enough said. Number 9, Good Luck Charlie. It lasted from 2010 to 2014. Teens PJ and Teddy and tween brother Gabe are typical kids, and that is until their mother has another baby. The arrival of their new sister completely upends the entire household. When their mother heads back to work after Charlie's birth, it's up to the kids and their dad to keep the home fires burning and to keep Charlie out of trouble as she learns to sit up, crawl, walk, and run. Teddy, as the older sister, makes a personalized video diary for Charlie, in each episode adding a nugget of wisdom for her baby sibling. TBH, the mom was the star of the show because I found her the most hilarious. I love, she was so funny, and honestly, she kind of reminded me a lot of my mom because my mom's such a jokester, so maybe that's why I liked her a lot. And this was a really cute show, and it had a lot of lessons to teach. And it was of course, in a way that was accessible to younger viewers. And it was really cool how we got to see little Charlotte, or Charlie, grow up. Like, from the first episode, she's a little toddler. And then by the end of the show, she was old enough to be in, like, kindergarten, first grade. Yeah. I love shows where you can see, like, the characters actually grow up. I think that's really cool. Number 10, Sunny with a Chance. It lasted from 2009 to 2011. Sunny Monroe, a teenager from Green Bay, Wisconsin, moves with her mom to Los Angeles when she is chosen to join the cast of her favorite TV show, a sketch comedy series called So Random. It's not all a fairy tale, as she deals with her diva co-star Tawny and the friction between the cast of her show and a rival network show called Mackenzie Falls. But she keeps her head up and a smile firmly in place as she tries to make everything turn out okay. Demi Lovato, I love you. Liz. Oh my gosh. Demi Lovato is just great. She was really great in the show. It's like young little young Demi. She was so cute. And watching the show, she was hilarious. And honestly, the show was just crazy overall, but it was still very cute. So yeah, those are my 10 favorite Disney Channel series. And oh, hi-ho, on a break we go. So remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. After the break, I'll be talking about Boy Meets World and some unknown facts about it, because these were unknown facts to me, so maybe it might be to you, okay? Hi-ho, on a little break we go.
Yeah, go like this. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Ooh, I am for real.
Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Ooh, I am for real.
Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times.
My baby is drama, mama. Don't like me. She's doing things like having the boys come from her neighborhood to the studio trying to fight me. She needs to get a piece of American pie and take her bite out. That's my house. Disconnect the cable and turn the lights out. And let her know her grandchild is a baby and not a paycheck. Private school, daycare, shit, medical bills, I pay that. I love your mom and everything. See, I ain't the only one who lay down. She wanna rip you up and start a custody war. My lawyer, stay down. She never got a chance to hear my side of the story. We was divided. She had fish fries and cookouts for my child's birthday. I ain't invited, despite it. I show her the utmost respect when I fall through. All you do is defend that lady when I call you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Ooh, I am for real.
Never meant to make your daughter cry. Apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Ooh, I am for real.
Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times.
Me and your daughter got a special thing going on. You say it's puffy love. We say it's foreground. Hope that we feel this way forever. You can plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather.
Ten times out of nine, now if I'm lying, fine. The quickest muzzle, throw it on my mouth and I'll decline. King meets queen, then the puppy love thing. Together dream about that crib with the Goodyear swing. On the oak tree, I hope we feel like this forever. Forever, forever, ever, forever, ever. Forever never seems that long until you're grown. And notice that the day-by-day ruler can't be too wrong. Miss Jackson, my intentions were good. I wish I could become a magician to abracadabra all the sadder. Thoughts of me, thoughts of she, thoughts of he. Asking what happened to the feeling that her and me had. I pray so much about it, need some knee pads. It happened for a reason, one can't be mad. So know this, know that everything's cool. And yes, I will be present on the first day of school and graduation.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Ooh, I am for real.
Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Hi-ho, back from break we go. show. So if you are just tuning in, this is The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu, and I am DJ Breezy, and on this show I talk about everything Disney related. So before the break, if you're just tuning in, I talked about my favorite Disney Channel series, and also earlier I talked about my favorite Disney Channel cartoons. And now I'm going to be talking about Boy Meets World and 12 Unknown Facts. Now, some of these facts may be unknown to you. A lot of them were unknown to me. And even if they weren't unknown to you, I'm going to tell you anyway. Okay. So I took all of this from 17.com. So yeah, if you want to check it out, check out 17.com. Okay. So I'm going to first tell you the synopsis. And also, this show lasted from 1993 to 2000. With the help of true love Topanga, best friend Sean, and teacher Mr. Feeny, Corey Matthews, juggle school, friends, and romance. The series, a popular Friday night staple on ABC for 7 seasons, began with Corey in the 6th grade and follows him and his entourage through their college years. Now, I really love the show because it featured a lot of issues that are still relevant today, like issues we have with our family, relationships, friendships, and like many things that people can relate to even now, even though the show has ended for quite a while now. And one example of this is there was this one episode with this college professor who used his authority against Topanga because he kind of had like the hots for her, and he put his hand on her leg, and she was like, I don't feel comfortable about this, dude. And then he was like, okay, whatever. And then Topanga told Corey, who was her boyfriend, and she was like, you know, he made me feel this way, like he did this and I didn't like it. And then they had to like go to like the school court, and then oh my gosh, he was like, yeah, well, you don't have anything against me and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, what is going on here? And even though this is like, the situation could be seen in different ways, it's the whole concept of it is still relevant today. Okay, so fact number one, Corey was originally supposed to have more than one best friend. So the show's creator, Michael Jacobs, wanted Corey to be part of a group of friends, not a duo. So the producers tried rotating in different friends, but none of the characters stuck around. The cast began calling the third cafeteria seat the death seat, because once a character sat there, they never came back. I think it would be really weird if there was another one. I think just Corey and Sean was really good. I think a duo just worked out better. Number two, Topanga was named after Topanga Canyon. Many fans have always thought Topanga's name was super strange, and Danielle Fishel, who played Topanga, revealed to Entertainment Weekly just how her character got her name. Creator Michael Jacobs says he was driving down the highway when production called and said, "We need a name for this character." He happened to be driving past Topanga Canyon, so he said, "Topanga." He says that if they had called him 2 miles later, I would have been named Canoga, which is the next exit. Okay, this is pretty weird, but I'm really glad that she stuck with that she got the name Topanga, because I can't imagine her having the name like Canoga. It doesn't feel right at all. Number three, Ryder Strong hated his famous Sean locks. Fans may have swooned over Sean's glorious hair, but actor Ryder Strong hated it. He revealed to Cosmopolitan.com that a group of girls convinced him to wear his hair like that, and once he got the role, Michael wouldn't let him change it. "I hated my hair. I came to the audition with that hairstyle, got the part, and the director never let me cut it from there on out. But my hair is wavy, and they would straighten it on the show, and it would take forever." Man, I can't imagine him with curly hair. It's so weird. Like, you get so used to something, and then once you see a change, it's like, I'm not really feeling it, but okay. Okay, and number four, Topanga was Corey's first kiss on screen and in real life. Aww. Ben Savage had his first kiss with Danielle in front of a live studio audience. No pressure. That was a really cute scene. If you've watched the show, you've seen it where his hair is all poofed up and they're like against the lockers. Oh, super cute. Okay, number five. Sean and Eric rarely had scenes together for a reason. On screen, they barely spoke, but in real life, Ryder Strong and Will Friedle were actually best friends. They were such good friends, in fact, it was almost impossible for them to film any scenes without laughing. There was one scene I hope I'm not spoiling it for you. There's one scene in, I believe, the 6th or 7th season where they had a scene together, and it was honestly really pretty awkward, and they actually acknowledge how they're never really in any scenes together. So that was pretty funny. Okay, number 6. Ryder Strong attended college while filming and even had a dorm room. At the end of season 5, Ryder thought about quitting the show so he could pursue his college degree, but Michael convinced him he could do both. So Ryder attended classes in his morning and came to film in his afternoons. He even had his own dorm room that he lived in part-time. That's pretty cool. I wish I could do that. I wish I could be going to film a show and then still going to school. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay, number 7. Corey and Sean are the only 2 actors to appear in all 158 episodes. Yep, that's all they had there from 17.com. Number 8. ABC let fans decide whether Corey and Topanga should get married. Michael wanted the couple to be married before the show ended, but ABC executives were skeptical because they felt Corey and Topanga were too young. He suggested the network post a poll online asking fans whether they wanted the couple to wed. They did, the fans voted, and the rest is history. Yo, the way that they tied it in, how they got married being like a young married couple was really good, because I never expected until I read this that the ABC executives didn't want them to be married. Because in my mind, like, if they never got married, my heart would hurt, because it's like they're literally made for each other. Fate came and hello, they have to get married. So I'm glad that it happened, but if it didn't, I don't know how well the show would have done. Just saying. Okay, number 9. Mr. Feeney's on-screen wife, Dean Bolander, is also his wife off-screen. Actors William Daniels and Bonnie Bartlett have been married since 1951. I love these stories where, like, people are the actors are couples in the show, and then it turns out that they're together in real life. It's just like, oh my gosh, I love it. Number 10. Topanga was never meant to be a main character. Actress Marla Sokoloff was originally cast to play Topanga, and they only scheduled her to appear in a few episodes. But producers didn't think it was working with Marla and recast Danielle Fishel as Topanga. Once Danielle took over the role, the character became so popular that producers decided to make her a series regular. TBH, I do not blame them whatsoever. Topanga is just so iconic, so good. Yes. And it's like as I said earlier, it's weird if it were to be changed, because we're so used to the way things are with the show now. Like, if it were to be different, you'd be like, what? Why would you change it? Number 11. 3 episodes have been banned from airing on Disney Channel. So before I go into this, yes, this wasn't a Disney Channel show, because it was aired on ABC, but ABC is owned by Disney. So yeah, I tied it in somehow. Okay. The episodes Promises, If You Can't Be With the One You Love, and The Truth About Honesty have been banned from the Disney Channel because they discuss teen drinking and premarital sex. Totally understandable. It makes sense. I watched a lot of this within, I think, the past month, those 3 episodes. And yeah, it would be completely wrong and pretty bad to see those episodes air on Disney Channel. But it kind of sucks, because if you're gonna like show the whole series and like not include those, it's like there's a missing part, because all of those have vital information to understand in the next episode. You feel me? Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, and number 12. The cast cried real tears when they filmed the final scene. The iconic final scene of the series could only be filmed once because the cast was so upset the show was coming to an end, they couldn't handle another take. I cried real tears too. I literally finished this series, Boy Meets World, yesterday afternoon, and I was watching that last episode, that last scene, and I started to cry. And you could tell that they were crying real tears. Like, you could totally tell they weren't acting. Just looking in their eyes, like, when Topanga went to go say bye to Feeny. Okay, this is kind of spoiling a little bit, but I'm just going to tell you anyway. So Topanga was going to hug Feeny, and you could so tell that she was so hurt that she was hugging him for basically the last time on the set. And then when Sean went to go hug, like, all of their hugs, all of their goodbyes were just so real. And reading this fact, you just know that it was real. So it was so sad, but it was so good, because although the show may have ended, we still got to see what Corey and Topanga's life was like afterwards, after Boy Meets World and Girl Meets World. So I'm going to go on a little break, but after I'm going to talk about Girl Meets World and how great it is that a lot of the fans of Boy Meets World get to see how Corey and Topanga are doing now with their new family. So, hi-ho, on a break we go. You are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu.
I need some real good loving, 'cause I'm troubled by the things that I see. Ooh, I need some real good loving. Ain't nobody been around here loving on me.
It's better to love and then lost than never to love at all. If that was true, I wouldn't be drinking this alcohol. Every relationship failed will take a toll on you, especially when you had holes in area codes on you. Is it easier to erase my memories at a point when most of my past women became my enemies? Some on the fence, some befriended me, but when we see each other, it's gonna be some weird energy. I'm sorry that we couldn't make it work. Believe in your heart, I never intended to make it hurt. Now they see me on the blogs with my new girl. Friends talking about that's supposed to be you, girl.
I need some real good loving, 'cause I'm troubled by the things that I see.
My chest, how do I feel it? Somebody give a prescription. I guess I gotta learn to live with regrets. Pay for mistakes and your exes take a commission. But what's a percent off the top when you hit the bottom? After you break up, wondering how to live without them. Need solutions, less problems. 'Cause if love will drive you crazy, I belong in the insane asylum. Hear the rain, feel the pain inside. Kinda lost, need someone to guide them. It's nothing worse than feeling alone, but I'll admit to feeling better when I'm hearing this song it go.
I need some real good loving, 'cause I'm troubled by the things that I see.
Hi ho, back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Breezy, and this show is everything Disney related. So before the break, I talked about Boy Meets World, and yes, it is Disney related because it was on a network owned by Disney. So yeah, it works. It works okay, and it's a really good show too. So if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's so good. It's definitely relatable, even though it may be considered a little outdated, but a lot of the stuff that they talk about and a lot of the things that are seen in the show can definitely be relevant today, and they are relevant today. Okay, so now I'm going to be talking about Girl Meets World. Oh, my heart. The show is seriously so dang cute. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the synopsis. And this show started in 2004, and we don't know an end date yet because it's still airing. So from 1993 to 2000, viewers followed the relationship of Corey Matthews and Topanga Lawrence Matthews on Boy Meets World. More than a decade later, the couple's daughter, Riley, is trying to navigate her tween years and problems that go with them, especially in regard to bonds with family and friends. At John Quincy Adams Middle School in Manhattan, Riley finds being a student more difficult because her dad is a history teacher there and she's in his class. Her mom, a lawyer, is involved in her social life and owns a trendy teen hangout. Among Riley's classmates are Ben's best friend Maya, crush Lucas, and quirky Farkle, son of Corey and Topanga's peer Stuart Minkus. So I really love this show. I'm not completely up to date with all of the episodes because I've been busy with school and life, so I haven't made time for it just yet. But from what I've seen now, I believe they're on the third season right now. It's so good. It's so cute. It's the girl who plays Riley Matthews. She really embodies how Ben Savage was as Corey Matthews. Like, you can tell that they're related in some way, even though they're not really related in real life. But I think that Riley Matthews is like, you can totally tell she's the daughter of Corey and Topanga, and it's so cute. And now I'm going to be talking about some things that I've noticed about the show. But before that, I actually just read about this yesterday. So apparently Girl Meets World is ending soon. What? So I read an article from GameAndGuide.com about how Disney Channel is considering to not show season 4 of the show, and apparently Rowan Blanchard and Sabrina Carpenter, who play Riley and Maya, have accepted this defeat. And what? The show is like, it's getting even better. Every episode I want to see what's next. I want to see what Riley sees, what she faces, what she does, who she meets. Like, I want to know more information about her. And why would they end it so soon? It hurts. And like, fans have been waiting for this show, even though it's on Disney Channel and not ABC. Fans of Corey and Topanga, fans of Boy Meets World in general, have been waiting to see what their life has been like, and now they get to see that with Girl Meets World. They get to see what their daughter's doing. Why would they end it? Okay, and number two, messages are learned differently. So Riley learns, I've noticed that Riley learns her messages mostly from her peers and especially her dad, but not so much from herself, if that makes any sense. Like, she goes to advice more from loved ones than thinking on her own, because Corey seemed to learn a lot from his parents and Mr. Feeney, but then I guess Riley learns more from her friends. Like, she, everything that she needs to know in life, her friends can tell her what she needs to realize and figure out. So it is a bit different, yeah. But I don't know, that's like a little thing that I have noticed. If you watch the show and you compare it to Boy Meets World, maybe you've noticed this too. I don't know. Number three, fashion. Boy Meets World reflected the 90s because there was a lot of dark colors and Corey wore a lot of flannel, which was very popular then. So just looking at that, like, I don't know, I really just like looking at what they wear. And yeah, Corey, especially in his middle school days, he wore a flannel over a hoodie, but it was like a hoodie with like cut out sleeves. It was pretty weird, but it worked for him. He still looked good. It was all right. And then in Girl Meets World, it reflects the 2000s fashion, so a lot more bright colors and a lot of mixing patterns. And Riley's outfits are really just everywhere. Patterns are totally mixed, but it's still really cute. Like, she makes it work. The costumer is really good. And something I've also noticed, Maya, Riley's best friend, she's always wearing heeled shoes. And I think it's just because she's much shorter than Riley, so I guess they have to minimize the height difference. I think that's what they're trying to do, because every episode I watch, I look at what they wear, and I never have seen Maya wear any flat shoes. And if she's wearing sneakers, they're like platform sneakers, or she's wearing like sneaker wedges, which I call snedges. I think that's a funny word, so I wanted to say that. But yeah, she's always wearing heeled shoes, and I really think it's because there's a height difference between them. And number four, there's the messages are just different in general. So the lessons are more accessible now to the Disney Channel audience, because since Disney Channel is more for kids and Boy Meets World was on a network that was more for adults, and Disney Channel is like the kids of those adults. So I think that's why the messages are a bit different. Like, they don't talk about sex or anything like that. Like, they don't kiss a lot. So yeah, and number five, that kind of what I just talked about will lead into this. Boy Meets World was a bit more, I guess, sexual. Like, some of the scenes started out with kissing, and then later episodes had scenes where characters were seriously just making out intensely and would fall over. But you know, it just might be understandable why there was more of those like straight up make out session and they fall over, because they were older, they were in college at this time, and also it was on a network that was more for older viewers. And number six, they're boy versus girl problems. So boys experience life in a slightly different way than girls do. And like for friendships, like guys just interact a little bit differently than girls. And then there's also a difference between decades that I've noticed. Like there's some problems, some things that were just the norm in the 90s compared to now in the 2000s. Like if on Boy Girl Meets World they did a lot of the same things in Boy Meets World, that would be kind of weird. So, yeah, totally understandable, but I still love the show nonetheless. So, yeah, this was The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to be here every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. And to just exit, I'm going to say something that Mickey Mouse said a lot. See ya real soon.
But it ain't even gotta be like that. Your man, he be calling me back. He say I'm fine, and a matter of fact, he asked how I do that. That fit my jeans over baby fat. Listen, I don't know the type of tricks he playing, but I should warn you, I don't want your man.
I understand why you wanna try, make him stay home late at night. But if he wanna go, he'll be gone. No lie. How many times I cried thinking about mine and where he might be. Remember when I gave everything I got, couldn't get deep down.